Today, I want us just to jump right in. We are coming into what I'm calling the third movement of prayer, the third movement in the dance of prayer. We talked about pause, and we talked about rejoice, and now we come to the word ask. Asking is at the heart of prayer. In fact, when you kind of boil it all down, most of us think that prayer is asking. I mean, I need something, and so I ask God, and I hope that He answers the prayer. And there is power in asking. In fact, I came across an article recently that was entitled "The Power of the Ask." And the author, April Stallworth, writes about the importance of asking. She makes this observation that often in life, we do not ask. And the reason we do not ask, she says, is fear. She writes, "We fear looking needy or looking foolish or stupid. We fear rejection, hearing no. And many times we are just plain scared to ask." Now, she's not talking about prayer so much as any other avenue in life. But the truth of the matter is, there is power in asking. There's power in asking. Listen, some of the very best things in your life that you have experienced over your life began with an ask. Someone asked someone else something. Certainly true for me. I remember one time I was asked by a youth worker, because the little church I grew up in, we didn't have youth pastors, we had youth workers. And the youth worker asked me, "The youth council would like you to preach for youth night at church. Will you?" And I said, "Yes, yes, I will." And let me tell you, that changed the entire trajectory of my life. I had a phone call one day, and a friend said, "Kevin, do you think that you might be able to find a date for my friend, Diana?" Now, I'm just going to tell you, it's a long story, but my wife, Diana, and I, our lives were changed by that question. I remember one night putting the kids down. Many of you are in that season where it is just a war every night, is it not? How do you get them in there? Once you get them in, to get it quiet, to close the door, to stop asking, to stop talking. And I remember one night I was just right at that point, ready to slam the door, and my daughter said to me, "Daddy, I want to talk to you about Jesus. Can we talk?" And I said, "Yes. Yes, we can." And what a privilege it is to walk your children into eternity. Questions that I get asked these days are like this one: "Papa, can I have two cookies?" Yes, yes, you can. Because I want you to know that you live in a world of abundance and our God is generous. Or here's a question that I was asked a long time ago that has touched even your life, and that was this question: "Kevin, our search team would like you to come and preach at New Work Fellowship. Will you?" And I said, "Yes. Yes, I will," and what a ride it has been. So I got a little homework for you. Sometime today, I would love it if you would just sit down and think and reflect in your life how certain questions changed everything for you. Asking is the essence of life. James put it so eloquently. He said this: "You have not because you ask not." Oh my goodness, could it really be that simple? Prayer may mean many things to us, but at its simplest form, prayer is asking God, and that is a good, good thing. In fact, when you think about the Lord's Prayer, it's kind of outlined with questions. Give us, forgive us. Lead us, deliver us. And listen, all of those are really good questions. Asking is the place in prayer where our greatest needs are met by the greatness of God's goodness. Asking is the place in prayer where our greatest needs are met by the greatness of God's goodness. And listen, prayer is coming to understand that your good Father wants you to ask. Jesus wants you to ask. Do you remember the gospel story about the time when Jesus met a blind man who was named Bartimaeus? Do you remember what Jesus asked of him? He asked him this question: what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Essentially, Jesus was saying to him, I just want you to ask. Tell me what it is that you want. And in this dance that we call prayer, you need to know that God wants to hear from you. He wants you to ask. He's waiting for you to ask. Charles Spurgeon put it this way: whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom. Asking is the rule of the kingdom. Asking is kind of like the hinge between heaven and earth. So ask. If you would open your Bibles with me today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 11, going back to where we began in this series. And as you find that text, let me just take a minute to introduce myself to you if we've not yet met. My name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors here. Would love to meet you. And one of the things that we ask every week is we ask you to fill out your digital Connect card. And part of that is we're asking you simply this: how can we be praying for you? Listen, one of the greatest privileges and the responsibilities of the pastors and elders is to meet you in that place of prayer and to join you in what you are already praying about. So listen, we ask you to fill that out every week. Now, before I read the text, there are just a couple of things we're going to be asking today. And those two questions are this: number one, why should we ask? And then secondly, what should we ask? So let's come back to this encounter with Jesus and the disciples, Luke 11, beginning with verse 1. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. Now I got to just push pause. Have you found your certain place where you pray? Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door's locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, Do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Over and over again, Jesus says, ask, ask. Well, why should we ask? First of all, because of this, it is relational. Prayer is more about friendship with God than getting a blessing. You might remember from week one, I wanted you to think of prayer as relationship and presence. It's showing up, and it requires presence, and presence is necessary for building intimacy and building trust. Think of it this way. If my kids, I started to say if my grandkids, but if my kids only came to me because they wanted my stuff, that's why I changed it to grandkids, because if my grandkids just want my stuff, that's fine. You have all my stuff. But if my kids only wanted my stuff and didn't want a relationship with me, how offensive would that be? Prayer is not about getting God stuff or getting God to do stuff that we want Him to do. It's about relationship. Prayer is a way of saying, God, I need you. I depend on you. It brings us into relation. And secondly, asking is vulnerable. To ask, I have to admit my need. To ask is to announce that I need God. It's a way of declaring, I'm counting on you, God, because I am not in control right now. I'm going through the second of my legacy Bibles where I'm going through and taking my reading Bible and making a copy for each of the grandkids. And right now in the book that I'm in the book of Job. And I've just been observing this week that Job is asking all of these questions over and over again. And he oftentimes doesn't get what he's asking for. But as you read it, you begin to see how Job is growing in his understanding of God and growing closer and closer. And that's because he was willing to be vulnerable. Asking is vulnerable. Thirdly, we ask because asking is intentional. Prayer is an act of your will. You don't accidentally fall into prayer, but rather deliberately we're seeking His attention and we're asking God to do what we cannot do. It's a principle throughout the Bible. You can see it down through church history that God comes where He is wanted and God waits until He is called. Did you hear that? God comes where He is wanted, and God waits until He is called. I mean, think about that verse of Scripture that many of us have heard all through life. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven. Why? Because God comes where He's wanted, and He waits until He is called. Prayer and asking is intentional. And fourthly, asking grows gratitude. Asking grows gratitude. Listen, gratitude is the result and the reward of praying, even for the smallest of things. And the more that God sharpens my heart to be able to perceive all of the goodness of God, even in the dire circumstances, that is the work of asking. Corrie Ten Boom was a Holocaust survivor, a Christian evangelist, and she talks about how she learned the connection between her gratitude and her prayer over in her life through a sister by the name of Betsy. Now, Betsy eventually died in the concentration camp where they were, but she talked about how Betsy lived with this motto that if a care is too small to be turned into prayer, in other words, if it's so small that you aren't going to pray about it, then it's too small to be a burden. So, in other words, she's not going to worry about it. But she always prayed with gratitude. Even in the most insignificant things that she was dealing with, she prayed with gratitude. For example, the barracks that they lived in the concentration camp, were so flea infested that it was miserable for everyone. But Corey talks about how her sister, Betsy, even prayed with gratitude over the infestation of fleas because she had recognized that the fleas were so bad that it discouraged the guards from even coming in the barracks. And so it was a reason to pray with gratitude. Listen, asking grows my gratitude so I can see the hand of God in everything. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he writes about this in the book of Philippians. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, he writes this: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. In other words, ask. But that brings us to the second question. Not just why should we ask, but what should we ask? And there are three kinds of asking that I want to talk about today. And the first is this: it's simply petition. Petition. In other words, ask for anything. Just make your petition known to God. Ask for the impossible. Ask for that which is so far beyond you that you don't even think that it is possible. But at the same time, let me encourage you to ask for the insignificant. The thing that is so small that you don't think God would even be bothered with that. Just ask, ask, ask. I mean, Jesus begins the Lord's Prayer. The first thing He comes to is the word, give us. He is telling us to ask. So from the smallest, most insignificant, to the greatest thing that is overwhelming your heart, you ask. Now, I think when things are overwhelming and beyond us, it's easy to pray because we realize that unless God does something here, you know, life's going a direction we don't want it to go, and so we ask. But a lot of times it's those insignificant, small things in life, the minuscule things that we're dealing with that are a challenge for us to ask about. You know, for about 9 months now, I've been in this journey with the Heavenly Father where He told me, come, go deeper, and been reading and studying and spending time in prayer. And I'm learning that one of the challenges that I have is praying for the insignificant. I mean, the trivial. You know, things like praying for a parking spot. Do you ever pray for a parking spot? What I'm learning is the more that I ask of God, the more I'm seeing God at work. Let me give you an example. I know it sounds ridiculous, but there was this day when I prayed for a parking spot. I was at a hospital that I hadn't been to before and needed to get in there. And when I pulled into the lot, it was just like every single spot was full. And as I'm driving through that lot, I just kind of felt this sense of maybe you should pray for a spot. And so I kind of paused and half-heartedly whispered a prayer that went something like this: okay, God, this stupid prayer book that I'm reading tells me that I should even ask for the insignificant. So I'm asking for a parking spot. And I turned the corner to start down the next row, and guess what? It was wide open. No cars at all. Now, I know if I hadn't prayed and I had turned the corner, the spaces would have still been empty. But let me tell you what that prayer did in me. It made me aware of my heavenly Father. And then you know what I had to do? I had to pray and give thanks. Well, God, thank you for the parking spot, you know? Give thanks. Listen, I know we think that's not how prayer works. I know we think, you know what, God can't be bothered with all that kind of stuff. But I love what Pete Gregg wrote in his book about how to pray. He wrote this: when I pray, I notice coincidences happen. And let me tell you, I do too. That's why he says, pray, give us. The point is, whatever's in your heart, bring it to your heavenly Father. He's a good, good Father that attends to you. He wants to hear from you. So you ask. You ask him with audacious faith. You ask him with shameless persistence. That was the point of the parable that Jesus told, right? Shameless persistence. Now listen, it's not that God is somehow reluctant. You have to kind of get on his one last nerve before he's going to help you. This is a parable of opposites. It's using the opposites in order to teach us a lesson. Jesus is saying to us, listen, if even a stubborn, uncaring, self-centered neighbor will respond to you when you ask, how much more will your good, good heavenly Father respond to you? So ask and trust him to move in your life. And listen, when you ask, it draws you close to the heavenly Father. And that brings us to the second kind of asking. When you get close to the Father, then you're going to need to ask in confession. First, we pray, give us. But then my asking should lead me to what I need most. And immediately upon the heels of give us, Jesus says, pray, forgive us. Listen, have you ever had to ask someone for forgiveness for something that you've done? Man, that's humbling, isn't it? That's hard to look somebody in the eye and say, I was wrong. Confession is a huge ask. Forgive me. But let me remind you that confession isn't talking to God about what I've done wrong so that God might somehow be informed about what is wrong. Prayer is me learning to tell the truth about me. It is saying out loud what I don't even want to speak out loud. Confession is more about me getting to know the real me. And so really when it comes down to confession, the question is simply this: do you really want to know who you really are? Because that's what confession is truly about. I mean, Psalms 139 verse 1 says this: oh Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. So confession is not me saying, hey God, hey, there's something I need to let you in on. No. He already knows. Confession is me seeing who I really am. And when I see myself for who I am, it allows me to grow beyond where I am right now. Now, confession always involves two steps. The two steps are these. Number one is searching your life, searching your heart in the light of the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, naming the sin. In other words, speaking out loud the truth about me. Confession begins by searching and then naming. And this is so important. Because when I search my heart for sin, and he will reveal it to us, and then I call out and confess it, you know what happens in that moment? In that moment, my greatest need, which is to be forgiven, is met by God's greatest gift. 1 John 1:9 says this: if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Do you know what that means? What that means is simply this: there is more grace in God than sin in me. There is more grace in God than sin in you. And when you come to that point where you are honest and you confess it, your greatest need is met by God's greatest gift. I love this quote from Tyler Staton in his book about prayer. He says this: most people go to the grave without ever confronting the false self, the deep patterns of dysfunction that govern their thoughts, feelings, and behavior. He's talking about sin. We don't even want to confront it. And then he says, therefore, most people go to their grave never having felt the freedom of living as their truest selves, never having given their true selves to the world and to those they love. And then he says this: to live apart from confession is an absolute tragedy. And to discover confession is an unspeakable gift. We might say it's a terrifying gift, because we don't want our sin exposed and named. But confession is the only way towards healing and wholeness. So when you're asking, Jesus says, you pray, Father, forgive. And then there's one more ask. Finally, you need to make sure that your asking includes intercession. Intercession is asking on behalf of somebody else. I mean, in the parable, the guy who needed bread, he wasn't even asking for himself, was he? He was asking for a friend. I'm asking for a friend that you get up and help me out. Asking for a friend, that's intercession. Intercession could simply be defined as asking for another and asking for more than what I could provide for that other. Richard Foster put it this way. He said, if we truly love people, we will desire more from them than is in our power to give. I mean, we've all prayed that way, right? Somebody you love is diagnosed with a horrific disease, and we pray for them because we wish for them more than what is in our power to give. So who are you praying for? Are you praying for your kids? Are you praying for your grandkids? Are you praying for the people that you work with? Do you pray for neighbors as they're going through seasons of life? Are you praying with brothers and sisters in the family of faith? Intercession is seeking God's divine intervention in the life of someone else. Intercession is the divine work that God has entrusted to you, that you would join him in his work by seeing and naming people and needs and asking God to act. There was a preacher and evangelist of another generation who's known by the name D.L. Moody, and kind of his heart was praying for the salvation of people around him. So much so that the story goes that he carried in his coat pocket a list of 100 names of people that he was praying that they might be saved. When he died, 96 people on that list had already come to faith in Jesus. I mean, isn't that amazing? Wouldn't it be something to think that you had a part in introducing 96 people into heaven? I mean, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good success rate, 96%. But it gets better. At his funeral, completely independent of one another, the other four people that were on his list that same day all trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So who's on your list? Who are your people? Who are you interceding for? When you came in today, in your seat, there was a card just like this. Let me encourage you all to pick that up and have it in your hand. You've seen it before, right? This card we call the impact card. And listen, we're not going to collect it. We're not going to keep it. It is for you. You're going to take it with you. We're going to ask you to put it somewhere on display where you see it regularly, where you see it every day. Because what we're asking you to do is to identify three people that you can intercede for and that you can pray for that God would move and work in their life. So we're going to ask you to identify three people that you long to see to come to faith in Jesus. Listen, we started using this for the first time 2 years ago. I went back and looked it up. It was in June of 2021. And the reason I went back to look at that is because I wanted to answer the question, so does prayer really work? Does it really make a difference if you pray for someone? Does it matter at all if you write down names and then you regularly pray for them? So let me tell you what I did. I looked at that and I thought, okay, I'm going to look at baptisms. I'm just going to evaluate based upon baptisms. Did it make a difference? And so I looked back the last 4 years. And I looked at when we started using the impact cards 2 years ago, and this is what I found. In the 2 years prior to intentionally asking you to begin to pray and intercede for your three, praying for others, in the 2 years before we ever used this, those 2 years, we had 43 baptisms. And let me tell you, 43 baptisms, that's a blessing. I rejoice over every one of those baptisms. Maybe some of you were one of those who were baptized. But then I looked at, okay, what about the 2 years since we started praying and specifically identifying others, and we joined in this work of intercession, and what I found is in the 2 years since then, we have seen 170 baptisms. That means it quadrupled. Let me tell you, there is something that happens in asking. There is something that happens in prayer. So who are your three? Listen, I'm going to invite the band to come back to the stage. And in just a moment, we're going to take some time to pray together. But first, I just want you individually to take a moment and to specifically identify who are your three. So right now, reach out, grab a pen, and just start writing down three names on your card. And like I said, this is yours. You're going to keep it. We're not going to collect it. Nobody gets this but you. So right now, take a minute and begin to write down the names of your three. And then in a few minutes, I'll give you a little more direction. let me tell you, you're in a couple of places right now. Some of you are going, three. Man, I need more cards. Well, grab them. Go and fill them out. But you know, there's some of you who are sitting there going, I'm really having a hard time even coming up with one. That might lead you back to confession, where you come to the Father and you ask Him, Lord, show me the three so that you can begin praying. Now what we're going to do is we're going to take a minute and we're going to get in groups. Nothing magical about the numbers. I'm just going to ask you 5 to 7. It'll work best for time management if you do that. But we're going to ask you to move from where you are. Just group up. And what I want to ask you to do is to share one of three things. Not necessarily the name, but maybe one of the names of somebody that you're praying for, so others can join you in your intercession. Or maybe you can share a struggle that you're enduring right now. Not only do we confess to the Father, but we confess to one another, and that brings healing. Or thirdly, a petition. Maybe just something that you are praying for in your life. So let me invite you to right now, just go ahead and group up, and let's just take a minute to pray with each other, pray for each other. So you go ahead and move. And in a moment, I have one last question that I want to give to you. Just share one thing. If you haven't already done so, one of you in that group, if you would just say a quick prayer for the prayer request that you've heard. It looks like most of you are finished. So let me just share one last question for you to chew on. And the question is simply this. If God had given you everything you prayed for this past week, How would your life be different if God had given you everything that you prayed for this past week? How would your life be different? I ask that because of this. Sometimes we don't ask because we don't want to be disappointed. Sometimes we don't ask because we're not sure that God can do what we need. Sometimes we don't ask because we are afraid. But Jesus said, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. A guy by the name of George Buttrick once put it this way: you keep beating on heaven's door with bruised knuckles in the dark. Ask. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you have called us to come and to ask. And so, Father, we bring you our lives to be in your presence, to experience the relationship with you. And Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name.